And welcome to another edition of the Jazznet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans for fans, where all the content is absolutely free. Tonight, as always, we are coming to you in association with Forest Precision Engineering. Now, I'm going to be your host this evening, and we'll be looking back at a wonderful game of football yesterday that culminated in a win over Hibs at Ibrox. But before I get into that, I'd encourage you all to visit the Jazznet website. Not only do we have a main website with a host of quality articles and online museum, but it also hosts our popular forums, which are a great place to keep up to date with the latest Rangers news and discussion. Now, tonight, as always, we are live on YouTube, and we'd ask that you continue to spread the word amongst your friends and family, share the pod on social media, subscribe to the channel, as well as stop by the forums and join in the chat there too. Now, I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers and Jazznet for a number of years, and we're delighted to have them supporting the pod. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. They've also got a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, you can email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, unpicking this phenomenal and fantastically entertaining game of football last night, I'm joined by the wonderful Alan Rogers. Alan, how are you doing, sir?
Good evening. Good evening. Not too bad. Not too bad. All the better for the way the football tide is turning at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Always puts you in a good mood when you're coming on to talk about a win, which is nice. And one of the OGs, one of the original gangsters of the Jazznet family, Mr. Brian Archer. It's been a while since I've been on with you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, all good, all good. Pleased with last night, yeah.
Good, 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 good. If everybody sees me going like this, it's because it's absolutely Baltic in my office and I forgot to leave the heater on for a half an hour before I came in. So you'll constantly see me doing this tonight as I try and warm up a wee bit. But we'll get right into it. Obviously, playing Hibs last night. It was a good 1-0 victory. I think we lined up with Butland, Aarons, Magoma as the kind of wing backs, the solid centre half trio of Giga, Sterling and Fernandes that made up the back six, Barron and Diamandé in the middle, with kind of Moore, Curtis and the Portuguese Peter Crouch, Big Chamiti up top. Brian, I guess I'll come at you first, mate. What was your thoughts when you saw the lineup? Anything you would have tweaked or changed? For me, there was a couple of little interesting selections last night, I would say.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that stood out. I was glad to see Sterling back. It was good to see him get his first start since April, so that was a positive. I was surprised to see Finlay Curtis start. I know there's been a lot of calls for him to get a start, so that was a bit of a surprise. I'm sure we'll cover off his performance a bit later, but yeah, good to see him get some game time. I think up front he kind of had to go with Chamiti, really. I think he obviously not quite making it. I was surprised that he kind of took Gassama out. I know he's kind of came off the boil a bit of late, but I kind of thought with him being, he's kind of Danny Rowe's man, really, you would think, because he had him at Sheffield Wednesday. So I was kind of surprised to see him bench him, but I think it was kind of warranted given recent performances. Slightly disappointed, obviously, Raskin didn't start, but apparently that was a minor precaution through injury. So I guess, if anything, it was a positive that he managed to get some rest, and he kind of wasn't really required until later. But yeah, I thought he was kind of limited to what he can do. He's not got a lot of options, plenty of injuries to speak of. I think there's players just now that we probably just don't want to see anywhere near the team. Mainly, I'm thinking Asgard in particular. I think he's kind of had his time and he's probably due a spell on the bench, so made sense for him not to start him. But yeah, I think it was kind of what I would have went with, to be honest.
And Alan, I guess just picking up on what Brian mentioned there about having Sterling back in the team, bizarrely, obviously came to light that it was because he stepped on a sprinkler, that he done his ACL or whatever it was. But he should bring a bit of much needed physicality and maybe a little bit of experience, shall we say, into that what was a young team last night. I think was the average age something about 22. But it was good to see him back in that starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Sterling's one of those players that everybody can see, you know, the old phrase, there's a player in there. We've just not seen anywhere near enough of him. I mean, his injury record is horrendous. He must have been injured for at least 50% of his time here. And it's a shame for him because obviously he wants to play. And when he has played, he's been effective in loads of different positions. I think we bought him as a right back, but I would put money on the fact that's the position he's played the least. We've seen him in the centre, I've seen him at left. And I even remember him playing sort of left wing in our game and stuff like that, you know. So we've really utilised, we've never really seen the best of him because of that, because of his injury record. But look, he must be what, 26 now, something like that, 25, 26. You know, he's not young. He's at the stage where he needs to be playing every week. So we need to get him fit because he's an asset to the team. And I think you saw that last night. As you said, you know, it was a young lineup. That front three of Curtis, Moore, Chomiti. I mean, you forget Chomiti's like 21. You know, it was really inexperienced. So when I saw the lineup, I was a bit concerned because Hibs are a reasonable enough side. So I think in that scenario, you know, when a manager makes a lot of changes and it is a bit of an experimental lineup to come away with the win, you know, you can just then say it was justified and it was the right decision because you took the points.
And this is where it gets difficult now, Brian, because we've actually now got to start to actually talk about the game instead of just focusing on the lineup, unfortunately. Because for the first 30 minutes, I don't think I've seen a worse game of football in all my life. I mean, I was sitting in Ibrox and the folk around about me were more laughing at some of the weird conversations that were going on because the football was just not keeping us interested at all. You know, the team looked like they'd be just been introduced to each other in the car park 2 minutes before kickoff. Our passing was terrible. You know, we could barely find a man 5 yards away. And the first major chance, a couple of chances actually fought with Hibs. You know, we're lucky not to be 1-0 down after we make an absolute mess of a corner. You know, Butland's kind of almost flapping. And I can't remember if it was Sterling that clears it off the line, but what did you make of that 30 minutes, given that it was a really important game for us and to start really well at home, try and get the crowd behind you? It was almost like we did the complete opposite.
Yeah, the word that I used in the group chat of the first 30 minutes was pathetic, to be honest. I thought it was pretty dire, to be honest. As you say, we couldn't find a teammate standing 5 yards away. You know, everything about that our play for that first 30 minutes was just terrible. Just nothing positive at all. As you say, we get pretty lucky with the one that was cleared off the line. So we're fortunate not to be one down. And yeah, just. They didn't seem to come out with any belief that there might be any possibility that we could force our way back into a title challenge. I know what happened at the weekend was obviously in a different competition, the other side of the city not winning that, but the way things have been going, and Alan mentioned at the start there, you know, the feeling the tide might be turning, but you didn't really get any of that from the players. You would think that this would be the chance where they come out and kind of go a bit all guns blazing and show, right, you know, we've got a potential opportunity here. The door's slightly ajar for us to force our way back in, as unbelievable as that sounds. But they just didn't show any of that. There was just a real lack of quality throughout the team. The only player that seemed to show as if he belonged in that park in any capacity was Mikey Moore. And yet again, it's another lone player who seems to be our star man, which is an all too common theme of late. But I guess the one bit of praise you could give them is that, you know, for that poor start, they didn't crumble in faulty pieces as we've seen so many weeks previous. You know, they managed somehow to get the goal and sort of kicked on from there. So, you know, I guess from that point of view, that's a positive we can take from it.
You're on mute, Rob.
Sorry, I didn't realise that. Thank you very much. W wonderful assistant there to remind me before I got into full flow. Thank you, mate. But I guess, Alan, we kind of, for all the lack of quality, the one moment that we actually get is from the comeback man, Sterling, with a wonderful ball in for Fernandes, who scores yet again. And we actually amazingly find ourselves going 1-0 up. And I think it's probably a good time to touch on both the importance of that goal, but also, I guess, how you think he's done since coming into the team. He was obviously culpable for an absolute brain fart against Ferencvaros, where he kind of reminded me of some kids that I used to coach when they were 6 or 7 and were distracted by a passing butterfly. I think he's had some really slack moments with the ball, certainly in that first half, that against a better team probably could have cost us. But with an experienced guy beside him, I can't help but feel there could be a player there. What's your been your views on Big Manny, and should we just stick him up front actually, given he's scored about 4 goals for us now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of these things, as Brian said, you know, that the lack of quality was just a bit, was, you know, it was stark. We've seen over the past few seasons, you know, Rangers managers getting sacked, and more often than not, when they get sacked, you look at this team and think, this squad is better than we're seeing. You know, we've got better players than the results suggest, and that's why the manager gets sacked. Now we're at a complete 180 from that, and Danny Rule's coming in, and I think everybody knows this squad severely lacks quality. So he's having to just cobble together lineups like last night, that there's just not many, many good footballers in the team. We just have to say that. And that's been evident for the European showings. You know, teams like Ferencváros and Brann Bergin are bending us over because they've got better footballers than we do. And it's that simple. And that's the state of the Rangers squad. So it was always going to be that sort of game that any moment of quality could make a real difference. And that's what we got from Sterling, as you mentioned. That ball in, really nice and neat. Fernandes times the run really well, because in that scenario you're always risking just getting ahead of the back line and being flagged off, especially when you're, you know, 6 foot 4, 6 foot 5 like he is. So he timed it really well, and it was a really neat header, because although it looks easy, given the way he's moving, given the curve on the ball, it's the easiest thing in the world to just knock that over the bar and just get too much on it. But he got just enough on it that it over the keeper, under the bar, and it was really nice, neat finish, obviously crucial for us. But it's one of these things with Fernandes that he's got the physical attributes. You know, he looks like a big dominant centre half. The height he's got in the box attacking wise is a real asset to the team, as we've now seen. You know, he's so hard to defend against. If he gets the run on you, he is winning the ball. And that's why he's been successful in scoring goals. But as I think we saw from the Peterborough fans when we signed him, he struggles with the mental side of the game. You know, concentration, just being alert, being aware. And that's where he's really got to learn, and learn quickly, because as we've discussed often in this podcast, Rangers and Ibrox is a really, really difficult place to learn your trade. And he's got a lot of learning to do. And you've got to look at it and say, look, if he was 19 and 20, or we paid 500k for him or something like that, you think, right, we could develop this player and it could be really interesting. But again, Fernandes, I think he'll be 25 next year. You know, he's not young in a football sense. And at that age, he's got to be a regular starter to allow him to develop. And I just wonder if he'll get that game time at Ibrox. We all think that an experienced centre half next to him, which Rangers lack at the moment, we've got to say, but an experienced centre half next to him that can really guide him and cajole him through games would be of assistance. It's just whether the crowd is ready to tolerate the brain farts, as you mentioned, because with that type of player, you can just tell that they'll be pretty frequent. Maybe not always lead to a goal, but I just like my centre halves to be the Davy Weir type, the 7 out of 10 every single week. Occasionally you'll get a 9 out of 10 from them. You know, I just think in a Rangers team, you need that reliability at centre half. Whereas Fernandes just strikes me as a player that'll have a 9 out of 10 one week and then a 1 out of 10 the next. You know, and that's where I'm a bit on the fence with him. But listen, he did well last night. It was a huge 3 points, and he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess, Brian, I think the disappointing thing for me in that first half was just we just seemed to be a little bit all over the place for most of it. I don't know if it is just because of the team that we've had to cobble together. You know, it looked like Barron and Deo didn't really know who was meant to press and who was meant to go where. Deo was sometimes getting in the way of Curtis on the left hand side, and again, it looked like it took us a little bit of time to try and get used to what the setup was like. And I guess it's probably credit that to the players that we just hung in and weathered that early bit of frustration from the crowd as well, because I think there was a few murmurs. And that goal kind of helped settle us down a little bit. But we can't afford to start games like we did last night. And regardless of what type of formation that the manager picks and set up that we go into, the players are going to have to adjust a hell of a lot quicker than they did last night.
Yeah, because we've seen in recent weeks what happens when they don't adjust. I mean, we just need to go back a couple of weeks ago against Falkirk when we weren't able to get out of that sluggish start and we weren't able to, find a goal or find that extra gear. And it was just, probably one of the dullest games we've seen at Ibrox for many years, and that's saying something. So yeah, you kind of hoping that that game would have been a bit of a warning shot to them that this is what can happen in this league. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't start well, if you don't start with the right tempo, then these teams will, they're quite happy to come to Ibrox and, try and disrupt the flow, and they'll give you, they'll give you a game. There's no easy games in this league, particularly with a squad like ours when it is lacking that quality. So we definitely can't afford to be starting games like that too often. I'm kind of hoping that once we get some players back again, maybe January helps, but although I've got my doubts about how much work you can do to your squad in a January window, to be honest, so I'm not pinning everything on that. But yeah, we've got some players to come back, and hopefully that can kick us on. But it is a real concern that we're just not starting games particularly well. And to me, I just think you can't almost outrun bad performances forever. Just now we're all quite happy because the results are there, and Danny Rowe said himself it's all about results, 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 and that's true. But there comes a time when you need the performances need to be there to back that up, and we're just not getting them. And there's going to come a point when those results aren't going to be there if the performances aren't there. You're only going to get away with starting like that so often. So we kind of need to start upping our game a bit domestically, and I just want to see us start fast. I want to see us come out the blocks in the first 30 minutes and blow these teams away at Ibrox. That's kind of what we should be doing. No disrespect to Hibs, but we should be able to come out fast and get a couple of goals up in the first half. I don't think that's too far-fetched for when you look at budgets of ours compared to theirs and things like that. But the quality is just not there at the moment. But hopefully we can just, I think all we can hope just now is that we keep grinding out results, and that kind of builds some sort of momentum and confidence, and then through that breeds better performances. We start to see things knitting together in the final third. For me, that's one of the most frustrating things just now as a player in the final third, is so lax the amount of times we get through, and we've got maybe a man advantage going against their defence, and we just make the wrong decision, or the weight of the pass is wrong, or it's not timed right. Hopefully that sort of thing just starts to click with building these wins, although we're not playing great. Again, that builds momentum and confidence, and then we go from there. But I've got a feeling that I'm sort of hoping for a lot there. And it's more than likely that these sort of poor performances tend to catch up with you if we don't rectify them soon.
Yeah, and I guess Alan, that kind of brings us to half time. Obviously, slim lead, apart from that one, couple of early chances that Hibs had. I don't really think they really created much in that that first half either. But I was surprised that there wasn't a bit of a tweak at half time, to be honest. I think a load of the folk that were sitting in box seven with me made their frustrations aware as well, that they wanted to see a bit of a change. Given we didn't really have much control in that first half, and I think we all felt that we were lacking a wee bit of structure and presence in midfield. Were you expecting a tweak for the second half, or were you kind of expecting them just to go again with who we had? And again, for context, I guess majority of us probably didn't realise that Raskin was sitting on the bench because he had a knock, so he would have been the obvious replacement we're probably looking at half time.
Yeah, I mean, I like that you just dropped in the fact you were in hospitality again last night, but we'll skip past that. But no, I think it's one of these things that it was an experimental 11. We got to half time, we're 1-0 up. I can see why the manager just would say to them, look, just try and keep doing what you're doing, because as much as obviously we concentrate on Rangers, the way the Rangers performed, the lack of quality, Hibs didn't have any quality either. You know, let's not kid ourselves here. A couple of long range efforts, okay. The one off the line, I think, was from a corner, fine. But other than that, Hibs weren't good. You know, it wasn't that game where we were being ripped apart and we're lucky to be in it or we're clinging on to the one goal lead. There wasn't much to that game at all. So I can completely see why the managers wanted to stick with it, especially if you've got some tired legs or some wee niggles on the bench. Not going to risk anybody. It makes sense to me. And I thought we were better second half. I thought we did get a bit more of a grip on the game. I thought the midfield stepped up a bit. Barron was better second half. Again, I still think he's a wee bit, you know, battered around the pitch. You know, you can be a wee bit ill-disciplined at times, but in some games you kind of need that. Just that engine to just chase the ball and harry the opponents, which I thought he did pretty well. I thought Diamandé got better second half too, just in terms of his use of the ball and his protecting of the ball. So I can understand why there was no tweaks. And I think it works to our benefit, you know, because we need to rotate players to an extent. We need to get through this difficult period. December always seems to be a crunch month for us. And we've already got injuries. So we're going to have to manage the squad that we've got. So getting minutes into legs last night, you know, for guys that hadn't played much, obviously Sterling got, I think, 60 minutes pretty much exactly. And Siala came back in, you know, Rask and Tav got wee rests, you know, things like that. Chimiti back in, getting the full game. That's going to be important for the month ahead. So I can see why the manager just wanted to give the players that run out, both from a perspective of Monday night and just maintaining the performance, but also looking to the month ahead, just to get people get minutes and legs and hopefully let players sharpen up.
Aye, and I guess that brings us on to Sterling and Aarons being kind of first off the pitch. You know, I think ultimately the latter, by the sounds of it, because he's pulled his groin, which potentially is a little bit of a worry because actually, you know, the substitute that came on for Aarons, Tav, hasn't exactly covered himself in glory the last couple of games. And even when he came on, I don't think he was that great. And we see Nsiala coming on to replace Sterling. Really difficult to judge Sterling, given his 7 months out, the fact that he got an assist. But you could see there was a little bit of ring rust with some of his touches and some of his play. But what did you make of both of them last night? Because I think Aarons is beginning to offer a little bit more going forward and being a bit more comfortable, I think, on that right-hand side without being massively brilliant. I'll caveat that. But I think he's probably just edging ahead of Tav at the moment in that position.
I mean, I think it's kind of touch and go. I think Aarons has certainly got better since he came in. I mean, his first, what, half dozen games, he just looked like a rabbit in headlights and a complete liability. You've got to be honest about that. He was really, really poor. He's settled a bit, and I think he's looking more steady. I think defensively, he's okay. I think he's got reasonable defensive nous in terms of just covering for his man. What I don't think he's any good at all is attacking. Maybe we've just been spoiled with Tav for basically the past decade, who's a much better attacker than he is defender. But I think when you see Aarons get into the final third, I just don't think he can do anything. You know, he's not a good crosser of the ball. I don't does he have any assists this season? I can't think of any. And I think that's really to the detriment of the team because we have become accustomed, basically since Gerrard came in, for our fullbacks, you know, getting double figures assists every season. And we're really, really lacking that now. And I think that really, really shows. So in that sense, you know, it's about, you know, sort of opportunity cost really of bringing Aarons into the team and maybe being a bit more defensive minded, but you lose that attacking thrust that as at the moment, I do think we still rely on. So there's no easy answers. Obviously, Tav, again, he's 34. You know, that last night is how he should be playing, you know, 30 minutes coming on. Things like that. That should be his role in the team these days. And it's a failure of the club that we don't have anyone coming through to take his place. That said, you know, go back to the semi-final recently, Tav was our best player on the pitch, I thought, by a distance. So he can still contribute positively in that sense, but his game time does need to be managed. But again, as I said before, it's a crucial month. We've got a lot of fixtures, congested schedule. We're going to need the whole squad. So I'm sure Aarons and Tav will both need to play their part over the weeks ahead.
And then I'll come to you, Brian, just on Wee Finlay, because obviously he then I thought had a pretty solid game, to be honest, without being amazing. I think he worked hard. I think I was getting a little bit frustrated by sometimes the lack of support he was getting on the left-hand side. I think there was probably a few opportunities where Magoma could have been trying to do an overlap and take a wee bit of a pressure away and a player away from him. But I think he was solid, if not unspectacular. And Moore then come off as well, who looked our most creative player on the pitch, and I was really surprised at that substitution. But what did you make of wee Finlay last night? Do you think he's done enough to warrant another start coming up at the weekend, or is it probably going to be his turn to get rotated out and Gassama come back in?
I think he'll probably get rotated out, and I think that's probably the right decision. I would agree with you in that he worked hard, but I thought in terms of quality and end product, he struggled. But what I will caveat that with is I don't think being stuck out wide necessarily suits his game. He's not a winger that's got raw pace, that's going to beat his man and do all the step overs and whip across in. I think Curtis to me is more of a wide forward type where you need to get him in close to the goal. He's proven that he's got an eye for goal. I think he's probably still up there in our top three or four goal scorers for the season. As bad as that sounds, to be honest, given his lack of game time. So he's proven that he's got an eye for goal. But I don't think being, touch tight to the touchline is his game. I don't think that does him any favours at all. He's not, to me, he doesn't look like a winger that's going to take on his fullback and, beat him for pace. That's not his game. He's a finisher. He's probably one of the best finishers at the club, to be honest, based on what we've seen. So to me, he needs to get in close to the goal. So in that respect, I was willing to cut my fair bit of slack for last night because I thought he did struggle quality wise. But I was also like, I don't think that's going to be. I hope that's not going to be his position going forward because I don't think that suits him. To be honest, not at all. I would rather see him up, even playing him up close to somebody like a Chirmiti or a. You obviously to let him link up, but more importantly, just let him get closer to the goal. Because I think when we do create chances, sometimes we just lack somebody in there to finish them. And I think he seems to be a natural born finisher. So I would like to see when he does get his next chance, I'd like to see his position slightly altered and maybe more of an emphasis on him, as I say, hitting the box and getting close to the goal rather than being stuck out on the wing because that's just not his game at all.
I guess the problem you've got there, Alan, is the fact that Mikey Moore's come in into that more central position after being playing out wide, and probably is more where Curtis would be suited, which is just supporting the striker. And Moore's made that position his own at the moment, just with the way that he is driving and engaging players and the quality that he's beginning to show in that position. So it's going to be an interesting one to see, because definitely if I think we Curtis has got something that he can offer the team. Now, he's not going to be a superstar right away, but he's going to work hard. He's going to play for the jersey and do all the stuff that we as a fan want to see. It's just working on that wee bit of quality that he needs to add to the game to be a kind of bona fide nailed on starter, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly. I mean he's a young player, and this is his first real full season. I think as a mainstay of the first team squad, so any young player is going to give you that inconsistency. But even more so, these sort of creative attackers, they're going to be up and down in their performances. I thought Curtis did okay last night, as Brian said. I thought he actually worked hard. His defensive work was good as well, which is a part of the game that you need in the modern era. But I think he had that kind of young player's curse that Moore has as well to some extent, and that he'll beat two men, try and beat a third and lose it. Young players just tend to do that, just that decision making, just when to release the ball they need to work on. But he's got good technique, Curtis. Obviously, he's got good work rate. He's one that we need to try and develop. But again, I think he's one that at the moment, sort of 30-minute sub appearances are probably what we want from him, and start him in sort of cup games and maybe the odd home league game and things like that. I don't think he's ready to be a first team starter every week, but again, that absolutely no issue with that given his age and his lack of experience. But he definitely needs to be around the first team squad because he's got something to offer. There's no question about that.
I guess, Brian, the next bone of contention for me is probably not about a player that came onto the pitch, but probably a player that never made it onto the pitch, which is young Lyle Cameron, or the lesser spotted Cameron, as I put him down as the agenda item. Because, for me, I think we've seen the lack of quality and effort from Asgard enough to know that we aren't really going to get anything different from him. And he's the one player that we haven't really seen much under Danny Rule so far. You know, he had a cracking season last year with Dundee, goals and assists. So he can obviously contribute and he knows how to play in the Scottish League. But I've got no idea why we haven't seen more of him and what he needs to do in order to get ahead of Asgard. Because when Asgard came on, again, a couple of nice little touches, but he didn't really offer much. So surely to God, Cameron has got to be a better option than him coming off the bench.
You would think so, but I think with Cameron, it's one of these cases where he's becoming a better player the less he plays in all of our minds because we're thinking, we know what Asgard can do, we've seen it, we don't like it, so let's give this kid a chance. Maybe he can offer something more. But I think this is just a classic case of the manager just doesn't rate him. And it seems as simple as that, to be honest. It seems as simple as new manager comes in. And he just, for whatever reason, just doesn't fancy him. He obviously sees him day in, day out in training, so there must be something that he's either doing or not doing as to why he's not getting a game, unless it's, I think he's been had injuries here and there as well, so maybe he's not quite up to full fitness. Maybe he's been coming back from injuries and getting re-injured again and things like that, and he's never managed to find his full fitness. I don't know, but I'm still not entirely sure what Cameron will give us because I didn't see any of him when he was at Dundee, to be honest. I didn't pay great attention to him, to be honest, when he was at Dundee, and we've only really seen very short bursts of him at Rangers, so I don't really feel like I've got enough evidence to judge him whether he can make it or he can't at Rangers. To be honest, it would be nice to see more of him because I like seeing, Scottish players come in and represent the club. I think we should have a core of Scottish players in our team, but at the end of the day, the manager sees him every day, and if the manager's not picking him, there must be a reason. I tend not to think that managers leave, players out of the team that they think will help them just because they don't rate them. If he was doing what Danny Rowe wants him to do in training, then you would like to think he'd be in the team, so there must be a reason.
I mean, I
I'm
think you
not
could.
sure what that is, but
I mean, I think we
yeah.
saw last night when suddenly Kieran Dowell appeared on the bench. I remember when I saw the lineup thinking, if Dowell gets on before
He's
Cameron
done.
just needs to leave in January. I
Aye.
mean, this is
Yeah.
outrageous. And
Yeah.
it's but obviously it didn't. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Brian. I think you've just got to assume Rowell just doesn't see enough in him. Which is a shame because I think we've seen bits and pieces over the years when he's always been sort of dangerous in the box. You know, and again, he's a hard worker, but you just got to wonder, and you hate saying it, but as he looked at him, I just thought he's too wee, because he is small. He's small for a player, there's no doubt about that. And again, someone's going to comment, "Oh, well, what about Maradona?" Yeah, okay, take the greatest of all time out of it. You
Well, I was more thinking about what about Conor Barron, mate? He's not exactly a
well,
giant, so.
there you go. But it's one of these things. The managers could look at him and just think you just don't have the stature. You know, you look at Asgard; he's over 6 foot. He's got the shoulders and all the rest of it. You think he at least, he looks like he would fit in physically. Albeit, as you said, if I see him do that, take the ball, move forward, cut back inside, behind his standing foot, and then roll it back to centre half one more time, I'm going to scream. It seems to be all he does. But anyway, I'd like to see more of Cameron because I do think he's got something to offer us. But
Yeah.
ultimately, it's the manager's call. You know, as I say, we've seen Dowell reintroduced. Obviously, Rothwell's completely out the picture. I know some suggestion he's injured. I'm not sure I buy that. Obviously, whispers he's leaving anyway. Again, the manager's obviously come in, had one look at Joe Rothwell jiggling about the training pitch and just thought, absolutely not. And maybe Cameron's in the same boat, which is a shame because, he's a player that you need players like Cameron in your squad and Barron, I think, in your squad that can just give you that, balls out work rate. But he needs to get a chance to show what he can do in the pitch. I mean, I genuinely don't think Cameron has played a minute under Rowe. Is that right?
Well, I think was he stripped to come on, and then he
Yeah.
there was an injury or something.
They
Then he went.
changed, yeah.
So I don't think he has actually. I
I
mean, he's the
deliberately, I
only
don't.
player that
Yeah.
Danny Rowe hasn't used yet,
Yeah.
from what I can remember.
Yeah.
So
That is quite a damning verdict on him.
yeah. Maybe
Unless
he's
he's been
parked in his
some.
parking spot or
Yeah,
something at
I was about to
Auchenbowie,
say,
and that's
unless
it.
it's been some horrendous training ground incident, he's injured his face with a boiled egg in a microwave or something like that. We just don't know. I can't imagine that would be the case. But given he's been on the bench, but listen, it may just be the manager just doesn't see a place for him. And that's a shame if that's the case. Because as I said earlier on, this time of year especially, we need to use the squad. And I don't think there's any doubt that Cameron's good enough for league business. He is. We've seen that. He's actually played a lot in the league for someone of his age. So I'd like to see us use him more. But look, it's the manager's call. It's always going to be the manager's call.
Aye. And I guess, we did actually have the ball in the back of the net as well. Again, which was nice, and we probably shouldn't gloss over the fact that, that happened. Probably the one time, Alan, where or recently anyway, that Gassama has actually went through on goal and finished neatly. After a pretty decent move and pass from Dio. And I guess we really need to see more of that for him. Early season form, he looked the signing of the summer, and the one that we could hang our hat on to say that he's going to be a tidy player. But we've seen a little bit of petulance from him and outbursts towards other teammates and stuff. And whether that was a little bit of a warning from Danny Rule to say, look, wee man, you need to knuckle down a wee bit and actually get back to what you're shown as part of the team early season. But hopefully he can get back to that early season form, because if he can, he's going to be a real asset, especially as we look at the run of games that we've got December, January.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, if I'm honest, I'm not as sold on Gassama as a lot of fans are. I still think he's got a lot to do to convince that he can be a player at this level or at this club. I think it was. I can't remember. Was it the Roma game? I can't quite remember. It was certainly a game I was at. I remember Tab basically spent the whole second half screaming at Gassama because he wasn't tracking back. He wasn't doing his job, and it was really apparent. And again, talk about Curtis and all that, willing to do the dirty work, tracking back and things like that. Gassama just lacks that. He's just lacks that work rate. As you said, he's constantly in the deck looking for fouls that he's not going to get. Constantly got his arms up and those kind of puppy dog eyes at the ref. It's not going to wash, mate. So just stop doing it. And I find that quite frustrating, more so frustrating because we know he's got ability and we've seen it in flashes. Can that run, that finish last night was good. He was marginally offside. I don't hold that against him. It's just, it's split second, really. And we've seen it in Europe and domestically on occasion. That kind of run, cut, shoot, he's good at that. But there's got to be a lot more to his game than that. There just has to be, including doing the dirty work and tracking back. Including being able to cross the ball better. I don't think he's a good crosser of the ball. He's another one that can, he's got explosive pace. He can burst past his defender, get to the byline. But again, he's another one that just hammers it across the box. He's rarely got finesse when he's trying to cut it back. Now, again, of course, he's young. He's going to develop and things like that. These kind of things can be trained into him. But I still find him pretty erratic. It was the Victoria Pilsen game where Antman debuted and Antman crossed to Gassama, who'd come in inside the far post and headed it down and scored. And I remember at the time thinking, brilliant, finally a winger that can shoot from distance and also has the nous to come into the back post and attack the back post when his other winger is wide. Celtic do that, used to do that to us all the time with our wingers. We'd be concentrating on the one wide and we'd forget the one at the back post. Barisic and Tav were always terrible for that. And I was like, finally, we've got a winger that's going to do that. And he's like never done it since. And it's just we need to get that right, and that needs to be drilled into him. He's got a relationship with Danny Rule. They've worked in the past. They seem to get on really well. I did think Gassama was better under Martin. If I'm honest, I thought he had more of an impact under Martin. So I don't quite know how that dynamic works. But look, he's got enough that we can work with him and see where he gets to, because he has contributed so far. But we do need to contribute. We do need more from him. It's the same as always we've seen in so many positions in Rangers over the years. We bring in players that are worse than the players they're supposed to be replacing. And like, is Gassama better than Sakala? No. And that's what we need to concentrate on, is bringing in players that can match outputs of players that are on their way out. So he's got time, but of course, if there's an 8 million bid from Villarreal in January, I'm taking it.
Yeah, no, we had that conversation at the game yesterday as well, and I think absolutely you get 8 to 10 million quid from you bite their hand off and you reinvest at the team. But I guess, Brian, second half was definitely an improvement on the first. And I guess for us, winning ugly is something that we would never have done in the early part of the season. And I think actually we'll touch on it in a wee minute, but the form that we're under Rule is pretty decent, and to be honest, it sets it up nicely for this visit to Tynecastle at the weekend. So, you know, I think we'd all probably bite our hand off at the moment. And like Danny Rule mentioned in the post-match press conference, you know, if you offered them another performance like last night, but a 1-0 victory, than a performance against you know, Dundee United and a draw, then he's taking the crap performance and good result every day of the week.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of the way we've got to view it from now until, well, to be honest, from now until the remainder of the season, to be honest, I suspect. When Danny Rowe came in, he did say, he did, you know, give the impression of a man that was all about results first, you know, performances will get there and through time, but he kind of understood right from the get-go that at Rangers you need to win games, and that's, you know, the number one priority. So he's got that quickly, which is more than his predecessor did, to be honest. So from that point of view, it's positive. I still, for me, I maintain that you can't have these kind of performances forever and keep grinding out. For me, results like last night, you know, if you look at when I think about my Rangers era was Walter Smith's second spell, three in a row. Throughout a season, we probably had a good few of those types of results where it was 1-0 and we kind of dogged it out, but we were also capable of going and scalping Dundee United 7-1 at Ibrox and, you know, in various other, you know, real putting on real good performances and racking up the goals. I don't see that with this team. And to me, nights like last night, you can accept it and it's, you know, we always want to win and it's fine as long as that's almost the outlier. And we've also got the other side of our game where we can really step up a gear and go and take three and four off teams in the league, particularly Ibrox, and I don't see that with this team at the moment, and that's what worries me, is that you can only get away with performances like that for so long. Otherwise you end up with results like Falkirk at Ibrox when it just comes unstuck and you don't get that goal from that headed goal for your centre half. So that worries me, I'll be honest. And that's kind of why I'm reticent to really think about a potential title challenge because I just don't think the performances are there to warrant it just now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely correct. You know, the context of wins like last night is really important. If you're 5 points clear at the top of the league and you grind out a 1-0 win against a team like Hibs, you turn around and say, that's brilliant. You know, these are the points that win us the league. Fantastic. Whereas in our position, when you're struggling, it is what we've all said. You know, delighted with the points, that was really important. But you know, we cannot sustain this level of performance. We need to improve, because we know it's going to go the other way at some point. And I think that's absolutely correct. But I just want to jump in because I've been really impressed by the script that Danny Rowe has clearly been given by the club when it comes to his press conferences. Because we all remember Russell Martin sitting there going, well, you know, it's all about performances, you know, and you know, we want to win in the correct way and all this stuff. And someone's obviously put an arm around Danny Rule and said, see all that stuff he was saying, say the opposite. And that's what he's saying. That whole results, results, results. That's exactly what he needs to say. That's what the fans need to hear. I'm absolutely convinced Danny Rule will know about we cannot put in performances like that and get away with it every week. He'll know they need to improve. But in terms of the schedule, in terms of where we are at the moment, grindy wins are fine for the time being. Let's see where we get to. You know, managers like Russell Martin, managers like a certain Frenchman that's probably living in a hotel in Glasgow right now, and I hope he's still got a free cancellation period on it, saying that performances matter more than results, that doesn't work in the West of Scotland. You know, you just need to say we're here to win and we'll win by hook or by crook. And that's a really important message that Danny Rule puts out to the fan base at this moment in time. So yeah, I think he's on message. And you know, I just want to get out there. You know, Danny Rule is working miracles right now with this squad, with the nature of the squad, with the makeup of it, with the lack of quality we've got, with the loan players that we've got, with the players out of contract next summer, with the whole atmosphere around the club, to go what is it, 6 wins, 2 draws? domestically so far.
It's almost like you've read my agenda, mate, and just stolen the stats that I had lined up to talk about. Yeah, as you said,
That's,
he's got a 75% win rate in the
yeah,
league,
I mean, that's,
and it's five clean sheets
yeah,
in the
as
league.
much as we were all frustrated by the Falkirk draw, that happens every season. You get the odd duffer home game where you just can't break a team down. It's fine, it happens to every team in the land. You can't hold that against them. We'd have bitten both hands off if you'd offered us that before Danny Rule came in, given the position we were in. I mean, we'd won one league game out of eight under Russell Martin. One out of eight. You almost look back at that and think, was I in the frigging Twilight Zone or something like that? I've never known that in my lifetime. And the fact that we've bounced back from it and we can even vaguely think about a title challenge is remarkable. And Danny Rule deserves all the credit in the world for that. I don't know how he's going to pan out as Rangers manager. I don't know if it'll work out long term and he'll be successful, but for the period he's had, he has turned this around, and he deserves huge credit for that.
Absolutely. And we'll just finish off the Hibs game because I wanted to get your view on the man of the match. I'm going to do something really stupid because people are probably going to call me out in the comments for this, but I'm just going to give a wee honourable mention to Tchermiti because I thought that was actually his best performance that we've seen from a link-up play point of view. It wasn't perfect, but it certainly gave me a little bit of a hope that there could be the semblance of a semi-competent player in that boy, and that 8 million quid might not be quite as wasted as it probably once was. Still couldn't hit a barn
Sorry,
door from 2 yards
can
out.
I just remind you, Rob, that he took a shot in the box and it went out for a throw-in?
That's what I was just about to say,
Did
mate.
you
He
just
still
say that
couldn't hit.
it might be 8
Still
million
couldn't
well
he?
spent?
He still couldn't. Not 8 million wasted is what I was saying. Not necessarily well spent, mate. Going to caveat that heavily. But I know he still can't hit a barn door for 2 yards out, unfortunately, without it going out for a throw-in. But no, I thought there were some moments last night with his link-up play, the little touches and trying to get into the position. I think the frustrating thing for me sometimes was that there wasn't much running beyond him, because I think he did win his fair share of headers against Hanley last night. That aside, he definitely wasn't man of the match, but I just wanted to, we hadn't highlighted him as part of the game and wanted to at least say, yeah, it was a little bit better than the gash we've seen him play before. But Brian, I guess, who was your man of the match last night?
I thought Conor Barron did pretty well. I think he did well in the midfield. I like his energy. I like his aggression. I like his tenacity. He's not the best on the ball, granted. He's probably not going to play a defence splitting pass, or we've seen his shooting needs work as well. But I like his all round game. He's kind of hunger and tenacity and his will to win the ball back. He reminds me a bit of Kevin Thompson, actually, in that respect, in terms of the way he gets about the park. So I would give it to Conor Barron.
I mean, I think I would. I mean, I'm probably minded to just give it to Fernandes just because he scored the winner. I thought it was a good header. Again, as I mentioned earlier on, I think it's a better header than you realise at first blush. But I'm probably just going to give it to him for that moment in the second half where he cut back inside the striker and then cut back inside to cut back inside another one and then fouled him. I don't like to see that very often from a centre half, but it's one of those things. See when it works, you just think,
Aye,
yeah, I like that gallus streak in him.
it was vibes. It was vibes of Bergera, but
I
without
was
quite
just about to say that.
the. I mean, it's one of those ones that if he gets caught on the ball and they run up and score, it's basically his Rangers career is over. So I like that he's willing to take those risks, and he's actually all right at that. He's okay at just knowing where the space is and just turning inside. Obviously, it's going to go horrendously wrong one of these days, and I hope it's not at Tynecastle or at Parkhead or something. But look, I probably would give it to Fernandes, but just to come in on Tchermiti, I thought that was his best performance last night. He's ploughing a lone furrow up there, especially in this team. There's not much support around him. It's young players that are around him. He's got a two-man midfield that, there's nobody really near him. And I think he's got a really, I think anyone in that role's got a difficult job. And I thought he did it as best he could. There was a nice moment in the first half where he sort of brought it down and then backheel flicked it perfectly into Moore's path, I think it was, and he got some appreciation from the crowd. Maybe things like that can give him some confidence, but I liked that there was certain, I can't, was it McGrath or something like that absolutely went through him in the first half, like a horrible tackle from behind. Obviously, Don Robertson just waved it off. You know, he likes to see Rangers players being hurt, allegedly. I think the fact that Tremiti got up and was, you know, finger wagging, I like that. He didn't stay in the ground looking for it. He didn't roll around feigning injury. He was just back up, and it maybe lit a bit of a fire in under him, hopefully. I thought it was his best. The best we've seen from him beforehand was a 3 out of 10. That was maybe a 5 out of 10. So still a long, long way to go in terms of improvement, but look, a step in the right direction.
Hell, your first Alan says he's going to get the winner on Sunday. Magic.
If I could pick one person to score the winner on Sunday, it probably would be him, in fairness. An overhead kick last minute, maybe.
Absolutely. You were going to say something, O'Brien. Sorry, mate.
Well, I was just going to say, when you're talking about Fernandez there, when I was thinking about the comparisons about Guerra, it made me wonder how Fernandez would get along with somebody like Davy Weir next to him. Because if you remember when Danny Wilson came through, he had Davy Weir sitting next to him, and Danny Wilson looked great when he came through. He looked like, this, really excellent centre half. And then, he left Rangers and he barely played much after that when he was at Liverpool. And it just made me wonder, is Fernandez one of those centre halves that just needs that experience next to him, and then he can really kick on?
I think you've got Nsiala, Jigga, Fernandez, and as much as he's been out for 7 months, I'd put Sterling in that category. That they all need a really good experienced centre half next to them to talk them through the games, because while Fernandez has played a lot of games, you can see he's got a bomb scare moment in him, and him being seen as the leader with him and Giga at the moment can scares the life out of me, to be honest, because both of them are just have good moments of, oh, there's a butterfly, and forget that they're in a game of football. So for me, absolutely, and I think it's one of the critical things that we need to do in January, is if we do not sign an experienced quality centre half, then everything that falls at Andrew Kavanagh's door from a fan perspective, he deserves, because we said it at the start of the season we needed it. We didn't sign anybody with that level of experience or quality, and we're kind of the chickens are coming home to roost for those decisions. So I think you're right when you say we're not going to be able to fix everything in January, Brian, but we can at least make maybe three, hopefully four quality signings, maybe across the spine of the team to shore things up a wee bit, because obviously Nsiala came on last night and did okay. You know, again, I'd like to see more of him, because I think his use of the ball, he's left footed. I think he could be a good left sided centre half. You've obviously got Sterling back. Suter's due to come back, but he's definitely not a player that we should be relying on as a first choice quality centre half. Still got to get somebody in there to kind of act as an old head and somebody that just knows how to defend. None of this playing about with the ball at the back and giving it back to the keeper. If it's in danger, get it out and away for the defence as quickly as possible.
What would both of you say to Alex Gogic? There's obviously been a lot of talk about him since the weekend. And do we tend to look down our nose a bit at, centre halves from the likes of St Mirren and other teams in the league? Is it now time that we go and try and look more in our own backyard in that respect?
I bring comparisons of Gogic to Marvin Andrews when we signed him. Big Marv was a great player for us, and was probably one of the people that we were like, nah, we should never have signed when we initially did. And I think Gogic would probably fall in the same bracket. You know what you're going to get with him. Is he the quality of defender that you want playing in the Europa League or Champions League for Rangers? No, but he knows what to do against SPL players. He would drag some of those players up by the scruff of their neck from a performance standpoint, because I don't think he would stand about way Asgard doing a wee twirl and then putting it back to defence. I think he'd be screaming at them to say, your job's to go bloody forward. I'm defending. You're meant to be attacking. So I think there'll probably be a few HR cases and a few more bruises on players after training if he signed.
I mean, it's a difficult one because on one hand, you can see the benefits he would bring. Someone that's just kind of raw like that. Not raw in the sort of playing sense, but just straightforward player. He'll rose edit if it comes near him. And to an extent, Rangers do need that. At the same time, I think if Andrew Cavan is to be believed, there is money to spend in January. So if we're spending money, my priority would be on a centre half, and I'd like to see us spend, 4 or 5 million on, a Conor Goldson Mark II, just the guy that's going to be fit every week, organise the defence, and never really drop below a 7 out of 10. I think we desperately need that. So that is not Gogic, I should say. So I hope our scouting network extends further to that. But if we signed a centre half for that at that kind of level and Gogic in January, could probably live with it, to be honest. But the squad needs, it needs 5 or 6 in January, ideally. Two centre halves, a left back, a centre mid, and a striker for me would be the shopping list. Now, I know we're not going to get that, but we need to add those key positions. I think, friend of the pod, Chris Jack, was saying that we're looking at a number 6, which is music to my ears, because we lack that completely. So again, it's I think Danny Rose alert to the issues with the squad, and I think he will address it. But we need to see where we are in January, because this is a really tough run of fixtures coming up. And we need to address matters at the right time. Signing loads of players for big money in January, if we're out of it, doesn't make any much sense. For me, you're better off waiting to the summer, but let's see.
What a brilliant segue, Alan, because we just get the wee 5 minute warning for Frankie there. So I've cut out a little chunk of what we're going to talk about, and I'll go to the December run, January run that with fixtures that we've got coming up. We've obviously got Hearts coming up. We've then got two home games, Motherwell, St Mirren. We're away to Celtic. We then play Aberdeen twice within 5 days, home and away, before we finish January with a home game against Dundee. I guess, Brian, I'll come to you first to say, what can we realistically expect from that run of games? Because it's probably going to be unrealistic to say 21 points out of those 7 games, but we should be aiming for as close as possible to that number, shouldn't we?
I think we should be aiming for 21 points. I think this is Glasgow Rangers. We're not. I don't think we should ever look at a run of games and go, oh, we'll maybe take 18 from that, or maybe we'll take, 19 would be good. No, I think we should be aiming for maximum points. Now, whether we get it or not is a different story, but I think that should always be the target. I think there's nothing to fear in that run of games. Obviously the side over the other side of the city have got their own troubles to seek, and I don't fear going to Parkhead, as much as I think we've got our own issues. I don't think that's a fixture to be feared. So I think we can go into that. If we can go into that and a win there brings the gap to less than 3 points, then to me that's the position we want to be in going into January. I still believe if we finish above them, we win that, then you need to be champions basically. I think we're going to need to finish above them. I still think Hearts will, in some respects, take care of themselves. I'm still not sure they'll keep the form up, to be honest. And I think we just need to be in a position that when that happens, we are ready to pounce. Because I think as it starts to get closer to the split, teams like Hearts, they've never been in that position before. So they've not got that experience of knowing how to go over the line. We've still got a bit of that in players like Tavernier that are still there. From the 55 season, so they'll know, hopefully know how to get some of the others through it. So for me, it's kind of as Danny Rogue says, we just now it's all about results, results, results. I'm hoping that those results breed better performances, because as I say, we can't get away with these performances forever. But right now, it's all about results, and I don't think there's anything to fear in the upcoming fixtures. I think we just need to go out, and maximum points for me is the aim, and see where we are come January the 4th, and then let's start getting some business done and try and get some quality into that squad, some badly needed quality, and then hopefully that kicks us on again for the kind of last sprint in the league.
Alan, over to
Yeah,
you.
I mean, Brian's exactly right. One game at a time, try and aim for maximum points, see where we get to. I just think, you're not going to win across the course of a season. You're not going to win 38 out of 38. You're going to drop points here and there. As I said, we spoke about it with Falkirk in that context earlier. Places like Tynecastle and Parkhead, they are games where if sometimes you look back and think, right, a point might be okay, but it's about mindset. If you go into the game with that mindset, you're more likely to drop points. You need to go in trying to take the game by the scruff of the neck and try and win it. Certainly Sunday just has that feel of a real sliding doors moment for Rangers this season. If we win it, then it puts a huge dent in Hearts' confidence. Obviously, it puts us closer to the top and it gives us a real boost. Equally, if Hearts win, that would have them beaten us twice this season, beaten Celtic twice this season. I mean, they would have to take huge confidence from that. And they've got an owner that might well invest further in January as well. So it just feels like an absolutely huge fixture on Sunday. And to see where we come out of it. If we can somehow come out of that with a win, which I think is going to be a really, really difficult job, but if we can come out of it with a win, then there's no reason that Rangers can't really progress from there. But it's, yeah, that's a big ask to for me at the moment.
Yeah, we're owed two favourable decisions from the last game, given that we really should have won that game at Ibrox had it not been for the refereeing and the VAR. So I'm looking forward to the two really dodgy penalties that we're going to get for us to win it on Sunday.
I'll take two dodgy penalties right now. Thank you very much. But it's one of these things that even looking at the lineup, think about how are we going to line up at the back? Because that's G away to AFCON. So we've got Nsiala coming in. They see an option now, Sterling. Then
Nsiala, Fernandez, Sterling, I would imagine if you're going to go a back five. Or you put Sterling in the middle and bring Taff to right centre half, Aarons, Magoma. It's there's so many different injuries and doubts over players because again, if Raskin doesn't recover, he's going to be a massive miss,
I mean, I
and
think, I'd be minded to try and beef up the midfield, I think, and get Raskin, Barr and Diamande in. And just maybe go flat back four again, maybe. I mean, Hearts play Braga and Shanklin's pretty central, don't they? They've got that winger, the Greek boys, name escapes me. I don't know. But there's, Danny Rule's got a lot of work to do ahead of Sunday, because that feels like a season-defining game already.
Absolutely. And on that bombshell, I want to say a big thank you to my guest tonight, Alan. As always, great chatting with you, mate. Thank you very much.
Very welcome. Enjoyed that, and I'll see you at some point soon.
Absolutely, Brian. Lovely to see you again, mate. Always good to chat to you. Thank you very much.
Yep, you too. Thank you.
As well as being live on YouTube tonight, folks, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, etc. In the coming days, there will be a show on Friday night. We're just waiting on the rota. So no doubt, look out on the socials for Frankie to post that and check out the Jazznet website for those details. All that's left for me to say is a massive thank you to everybody that's watching live on YouTube and to everybody that's watching or listening back. Thanks very much and have a good week.